While you're turning, let me tell you about an upcoming event we have next year. We've been working on planning on April the 10th, on a Friday night. We are planning a area youth rally for not just our church, but for all the churches around that will come. And the guest speaker will be Kenny Baldwin, great pastor, evangelist out of Washington, D.C. He'll drive down, Lord willing, that day or day before, and he likes to drive back and be back at his church on Sunday morning, so that's why it's on Friday. Last night at my son's church, Darren Waldrop's, my son, Bethel Baptist Church in Spruce Pine, they had kind of a kickoff for this. He had invited several churches. Tommy invited us. Our youth had already had their events planned for Dollywood. It was a late invite. But anyway, they had 10 churches show up for that youth meeting from 5 counties, and 14 got saved last night. And so Darren's so excited. He said that was kind of a kickoff. The churches will work together and can work together. And his dream for us is that we have people here from 5 states. The only worry Darren has for us is we can't hold them. Our church seats 920 or so. And it's not just for the youth, because for this kind of a crowd we expect, we're going to have a lot of workers, a lot of security, and a lot of workers. So everyone's going to be involved. That is April the 10th on a Friday night. Looking forward to that. Pray much, not only for the youth, but for God to do a work in our community and in our state and in surrounding states. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew. It's Thanksgiving season, and I've been thinking and praying a lot. And naturally, at Thanksgiving season, we go back to our first Thanksgiving here in America. We were taught it in public schools. I hope they still teach it today in public schools, about the pilgrims and how God had been upon the hand of those pilgrims that came to America. But I want to go back farther than that, because that may be where it started in America. Thank God for that. But I want to talk to you about the reason that we can have Thanksgiving. So if it hadn't been for what we're going to read this morning, it wouldn't be a Thanksgiving for anyone. Not just for America, but for the whole world. The reason we can have Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving? Giving praise and honor to God for the bountiful blessings he has given us. And what more bountiful blessing could there be except the birth of his precious son, Jesus Christ? As we begin reading in the New Testament, we realize that God had been silent. He had not spoken that we know of. And for 400 years, he had spoken through Malachi. And then we have that wonderful book. But as it closed out, the people, oh, they were carrying on worship all right. But Malachi told us all about that. God was sick and tired of the way they were worshiping. They're supposed to bring the very best. And they brought the lame and the calves that Noah, or the animals that Noah wanted to have. And so God was so sick of it, he just went silent. And can you imagine what a Thanksgiving it was when we begin reading the New Testament and we see that God is speaking to the world again? He's not speaking through prophets this time. He's going to speak through his own precious son. Let's pay attention this morning as how God introduces this first great Thanksgiving. Now, we know that when God created the heavens and the world, the book of Genesis tells about that. But now we have a Savior. Oh, he was there in the beginning to create the heavens and the earth. But now we're going to see his beginning, his genealogy, if you will. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Hamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. Say, that's boring. No, it's really not. We won't go farther than that. But see, God keeps good records. Sometimes we try to keep records in our head or in writing, but God keeps perfect records. And everything God has ever done points to the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, and for the next coming, so he can take his children, you and I, that was born in sin, shaped in iniquity because of Eve, and because of Adam. They sold us out. She's the mother of all living, and here we are. And so we have a lot to be thankful for this morning. Let's see how Murray was thankful. Turn on over to the book of Luke. We'll begin reading in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And we'll look first of all at Mary's son of promise. All the way through the Old Testament, and then God's heart and mind. Jesus is the lamb that was going to be in his mind, slain before the foundation of the world, before he ever created the world. He knew that his son Jesus will come into this world and be slain as a perfect lamb. So let's look at the thanksgiving that Mary has, because Mary's son of promise is going to be delivered through her. Verse 26 says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. The same Gabriel had been sent 6 months earlier to the house of Zacharias, a priest, carrying out the customs, carrying out the worship services. And he was an old man, and his wife, Elizabeth, was of old age, and they couldn't have a children. But God knew and ordained someone to introduce and to be a forerunner of his son. God had big plans for his son, and he has accomplished everything that God promised you and I. And so Mary's son of promise is going to be born. Let's see how it happened. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of a house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. The word favored, pursued with grace, compassed with favor, and honored with blessings. A lot is said in that word, highly favored, compassed with blessings. And all the glory and all the honor will be given not to Mary, but she is just going to give thanks now for this son of promise that has been given to her. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be, what kind of greeting this should be, that an angel, Gabriel, should come from glory and salute or give her the greetings that she is highly favored, pursued from God, highly blessed among all women. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary to the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And you and I cannot imagine the thrill, the excitement. And then she just kind of stole away by herself and started pondering these things in her mind. That which had been told her. She did not fully understand everything had been told to her, and particularly the fact that she was going to have a child who had never been with a man, but yet she believed the report. And she had been given the son of promise. Now, when God promises a thing, it's just as well as already done, because God cannot lie. All the way through the Old Testament, and all the way through, before the foundation of the world, he's going to have to be born by the Virgin Mary. So thank God for Mary being able to give thanksgiving and praise. Let's see how she accomplished that. Now, Mary, first of all, She's going to be given the son of promise. But now let's read in the 39th verse, Mary's salutation personified. See, she'd been greeted by the angel. And that word salute means greetings. And now she's going to have another greeting for her cousin. I've been introduced to her that her cousin Elizabeth has already been visited by the same angel 6 months earlier. And she's going to have a son also. And we might point out that that introduction was given and stated that that babe in Elizabeth's womb would be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's see if that's a promise that's going to come true. We know it is. But see, it's already, God's already told his word so many things, and when they happen, wow, isn't that something? And now a babe, been told in Luke chapter 1 that this babe, John the Baptist, we call him, when he was born, John, that's what God said his name should be. And remember, a lot of people don't like what God wants to do. And because Zachariah did not approve the name John, then he was stricken dumb. I wonder how many people in this world have been stricken dumb to the things of God because they would not hearken and heed and be about what God wants in their life. Now, a miracle enough that God would visit Zachariah and say, you're an old man, your wife is an old woman, and I'm going to give you a son. It looks to me like that at that point, anything God said would be very pleasing to him. And why was he, or who was he to question God about the name that he was going to be given? Same thing for you and I so many times. God tells us what he wants us to do, and then he tells us how we're supposed to do it. And we ought to be excited about the fact that he just spoke to us. Remember, he hadn't spoken for 400 years, and now an account is given that the angel Gabriel, a message from God, is speaking to a man called Zacharias, and he's not content and not satisfied with all the results going to be told him. I can't fathom that, can you? But then I look at my own self and my own life, and you'll have to look at yours. How many times has God spoken to you through his word, or maybe not audibly, but in your heart, you know he's spoken to you and told you what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and we sit back and question God. Oh, but not Mary. No, Mary has been given a promise, a son of promise. And now the salutation of Mary is going to be personified through her son, Jesus Christ, and through the son of Elizabeth, who's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So let's look at a couple more salutes here. God's big on saluting, particularly when he comes and gives us greetings. In verse 39, she'd been pondering now, going through her mind, all that has been told her. And no doubt some things in her mind that's not mentioned a lot, but we know that now she's not been with a man, she's been espoused, engaged, as we would say, but not married yet, hasn't come with a man yet, and she knows how the community is going to look at that. She's pondering that in her mind. But she's already known enough to know that this son that will be given her will be the Savior of the world. That includes her. Because Mary was like you and I. She was the only way she's going to get to God. Just because the angel Gabriel visited her and said, you're highly favored, you have been given all these promises, doesn't mean she's going to go to heaven. No, the only way anyone, including Mary, is going to go to heaven is through by the death, burial, resurrection of the blood of Jesus Christ. It can't be her blood because this son that's going to be given is going to have God's blood. God's blood is perfect. Her blood or anyone else's blood is not going to accomplish and will not pay the penalty for sin. But remember what the scripture says? Through the shedding of blood is the remission of sin. But we realize that the precious blood makes an atonement for sin. It's the only ingredient that can deal with sin. Can't be my blood, Mary's blood. So she's pondering that the son that I'm going to have, that the Holy Ghost plants inside my womb, this baby is going to be my ticket to heaven. Now that's a big thought. Let's let you and I have that same thought today. The only way you or me or anyone else was ever going to go to heaven is because of the death, burial, resurrection, and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The blood's the only ingredient that can forgive sin, but the application of the blood on my life and yours has to be there, and that's through the Holy Ghost. I can't accomplish that. Murray couldn't accomplish that, but the Bible says the Holy Ghost is going to accomplish that. And the same Holy Ghost was the one that had told Elizabeth and Zacharias that they're going to have a son, and he's going to be introduced in the mother's womb, and the Holy Ghost is responsible for that introduction also. Let's read the text together in the 39th verse. Mary's salutation personified after she had been given the promise of the Son of Promise. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Remember that word salute again. To greet. Remember that. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now earlier, we didn't read, but we quoted it, that the Bible says that the babe would also be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I remind you, unless the Holy Ghost moves, not that. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God, and the Spirit of God moved. Anything God has ever done on planet Earth, He has done because of His Son, Jesus Christ, and through the blessed Holy Ghost. He spoke the Word into existence. Now we have the fact here that the salutation of Mary to Elizabeth, the greeting is personified through the blessed Holy Ghost. And she spake, verse 42, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Elizabeth is just kind of repeating what's been told to Mary by the angel Gabriel. Elizabeth wasn't there, but remember, the Holy Ghost is the one that's in charge of all the messages. And anything's worth anything, and anything that's ever going to be done worth anything will be because of the precious Holy Ghost of God. Now the salutation is more than word of mouth from Mary to Elizabeth and Elizabeth. Now the Holy Ghost is involved, and the salutation is personified. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now how did Elizabeth know all that? And I submit to you that none of us know hardly anything worth anything unless the Holy Ghost comes to life in their heart. And as we read the Word of God and as we pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, the only way your prayer is going to be heard is through the blessed Holy Ghost. We pray the words, and the Holy Ghost takes those words and goes into the throne room of heaven where God the Father is and God the Son at the right hand, and that the conversation begins. From our heart, we're saved by the grace of God, and He that dwelleth in us. And He takes those precious words. Say, my words may not be so precious. Oh, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And then we pray those prayers. And have you ever been? I'm sure you have. You're crying out to God, and your heart is so full and so desperate sometimes. And you don't really know what you need, except you know you need something from the Lord. And so sometimes you're just groaning. You say, boy, I wonder if I'm getting through. Oh, you're getting through better than you ever did. He takes those thoughts. He takes those desires of your heart. And the Holy Ghost delivers those into the throne room. And there, Jesus Christ has already promised, I'll hear those prayers. And the way you and I get to God is through the Holy Ghost, through His Son, Jesus Christ. And remember, in the Old Testament, God got to Israel, but then seemingly God cut him off and didn't speak. And now the way He speaks is through His Son, Jesus Christ, by the precious Holy Ghost. The salutation personified. For lo, verse 44, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. 6 months old babe in Elizabeth's womb. Already been prophesied that the baby is going to fill with the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine that? A babe, 6 months old, in the mother's womb, leaps for joy and is already filled with the Holy Ghost. Boy, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost sent me there. That can plant a seed in Mary's womb from God the Father. So God the Father is a son. Well, we got a lot to be thankful for this Thanksgiving season. And without this message through the Word of God and without what's happening here, there would be no Thanksgiving. We go back and study, and we're so thankful that we do have a Thanksgiving in America. Now, this is a reason we have Thanksgiving, because of what God's already accomplished. The promise of God, then he gives us a lot more promises, and we won't have the time to deal with all those. And then it says in verse 43, and blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. The Lord spoke it through the angel Gabriel, and now the promises are going to come true. From the Lord. Why? She believed. I've talked to people, and you probably have too, about salvation. And some of them have told me, if I could only believe the Word of God is true, I'd go no farther. If people's already conceived and made up their mind that I don't believe the Word of God, there's no use me wasting my time. I can't help them believe. And I'll tell you, if you don't believe the Word of God, how can you believe anything? If you don't believe everything in the Word of God, that we was born in the shape of iniquity and we were in sin, and the only remedy for that sin is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that he forgives sins, and he came to die and to live for us. And if we don't believe that, I can't help it. And the Holy Ghost. Preconceived notions. And now the scripture says, and blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be performance of those things which were told her. The reason that this transaction was made possible is because the angel Gabriel said, the Holy Ghost wants to do something for you, give you a seed from God the Father, and she believed it. Salvation comes to you now if you're lost here this morning, wherever you're at listening, and you're lost. It's so easy to get saved if you'll just believe the report. Believe you're lost, and believe you need a Savior, and believe that Jesus Christ is a Savior. Boy, what a Thanksgiving that would be. The genealogy of Jesus Christ we're reading about, we know and believe with all our heart that this Son of Promise was Jesus Christ, and now the salutation. And that's what happened when we're introduced to the Holy Ghost. And he comes and speaks to our heart. And the greetings will be, you're lost. Don't give up hope. I've already known you've lost. You're lost. I knew you before you were born. I knew everything about you. And I've already paved the way. And the greeting is, accept my Son and his forgiveness for your sin. The Word of God teaches this so plainly. And the salutation, that greeting, will be personified when we believe and accept what he said. Thirdly, and the last, let's look at Mary's song of praise and thanksgiving. We've looked, first of all, at Mary's son of promise, Mary's salutation personified. But lastly, let's look at her song of praise. And when you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and it's personified in her heart, transaction has been done. Now the babe is living in her womb. Look at her song of praise. It's so wonderfully outlined in this beautiful passage, verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generation shall call me blessed. Stop right there, because many people in the world look to Mary and think that Mary's going to give them all the forgiveness they need. No, no, no. It's not about Mary. It's about the obedience of Mary, and it's the fact that Jesus is going to be introduced to the world through her, but then she has to accept him forgiveness of sin just like you and I do. So we are blessed by the fact that she has a song of praise that's going to teach us a lot this morning. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Remember, it wasn't about Mary, it's him. For he hath regarded. From henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Mary is not personifying herself. She is personifying the one that's going to come through her womb. The same as Elizabeth has done. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shewed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath fulfilled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away, empty away. Have you noticed one major theme that we've been reading? He has already done it. He hath done it. She's given it in the future tense as though it was a present tense, as though it was a past tense. And that's the way God looks at things. He sees things finished before they ever began. He saw you lost in your sins. He saw me lost in my sins. And they already saw us seated together in heaven with him, those that will receive and believe the report. And so everything she's saying there is what he hath done, and he's not even born yet. Oh, but in the mind of God. See, the promises of God are so pure and holy. Verse 54, he hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. It was as I was reading that, studying up on that, I just got to find out what she's really talking about, because that's a word that we don't use much or any in the present. Now remember, God's word is perfect. Remember, it was written in the Greek, and there's no hardly any direct English word for the Greek words. Our English is so mixed up. That's what we have, and that's what we live with. But let's go back to the Greek a little bit, because it's going to help this morning. She used that word, and it's not a Greek word. This is the English word that's translated. And the word that was used was antilambano. That means nothing to any of us unless you know Greek. And it's easy to look up what the Greek words mean. So this is what that word means. Remember what this says. Now, he has opened his servant Israel. Hoping. To lay fast on. To hold. To be a partaker of the benefits of his services. To take a person in order, as it were, to be held, embraced, supported, and secure. All that meaning. Let's go a little bit farther. Because he only uses that Greek word three times. And the Bible is the best interpreter. And let's go to those other two verses and the meanings that he... Now, sometimes the Greek word will be translated this way as hoping. And one time it was translated support. And the next time it's translated partaker. That's exactly what it means. So let's read this account together and see how perfect God's word is. And how we can go through, and it explains itself. Because all you have to know is that the Greek word is used three times. And let's go through and look at. First of all, it's Luke 1:54. He has hoping. He has laid hold on, held fast, be a partaker and a supporter. But now let's look at Acts chapter 20, verse 35. This time that Greek word, only used three times, is translated support. Perfect translation. Because that Greek word means three things. And the meaning of that is explained in this verse. Acts 20, 35. Look for the word support as we read. I have shewed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So now, the word that we go back and use, he has hoping, he has helped, he has secured, he has been a partaker. Is that what the scripture has already told us? That all the burdens of every one will be laid on his shoulders, and he will be the precious Son of God who giveth hope, who giveth support, and he has been a partaker of every one because he was born in the likeness of man, and he knew our griefs, he knew our hurts before we ever got here. He came to be a partaker of that, not the sin question, but the overcome the sin question. But read the next verse and the last verse that's used with this Greek word in 1 Timothy 6:2. How beautiful the word of God is, how wonderful. And they that have believe in masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved. Here's our Greek word, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So that word that Murray uses means that Christ Jesus is going to come and he's going to be a partaker of a human race. And he's going to give us support. And he's going to give us the blessed benefits of his riches and glory. And all that word that Murray is using, now remember, Murray is not a Greek scholar. And she is just like you and I. But remember, the words she's speaking, the Holy Ghost is in charge. And we're preaching a message this morning from the Word of God that the Holy Ghost is in charge of everything. He was in charge of sending the Gabriel angel and the words that were spoken, the transaction that was made because Mary believed till the Son of Promise was born and the salutation were personified. And since they were, and since they have been in my heart and your life, when salvation was wrought because I believe, then we too at this Thanksgiving season can be as Murray. We can give a song of praise and thanksgiving. But let's keep reading. So now let's reread that verse again in Luke chapter 1, verse 54, by introducing in English what it really means. He hath laid hold on. He hath held fast. He hath been a partaker of the benefits of his services. He hath taken, as it were, to be held, embraced, and supported. All in one word. He hath done that, his servant Israel, to his servant Israel, in remembering of his mercy. Israel, you haven't heard a word from me in 400 years, but I haven't forgotten you. You've been in your sins, you've been carrying on worship, just like a lot of people today. But your heart's not in it. But I'm going to send my son. In fact, he is in the womb of Mary right now. And the Holy Ghost is doing the introduction. Holy Ghost is doing the supporting. The Holy Ghost is doing the salutation, the greeting, the song of praise, making it personified to every individual that believes. And then he says, the blessed Holy Ghost in verse 55, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. We have this precious account that Mary and Elizabeth, they're cousins. I don't know if they'd seen each other back in those days, a long distance between where they lived. They may have known each other. I don't know anything about that. But I do know she went to the hill country. And there she abode 3 months. And if the salutation, the greeting produced that kind of joy and that kind of results that day, when Elizabeth says the babe, John, who Zacharias didn't think that was going to be his name, was going to be his name because God said it was. If the babe's already rejoicing and filled with the Holy Ghost and leaping, what do you think the rest of those 3 months was like? Oh, when I got saved and when you got saved, joy unspeakable and full of glory. But it didn't end there. There's a life of support, of sharing his benefits, of being introduced afresh and new to the things of God through the people we meet, through the opportunities we have, through the precious saturation and filling of the Holy Ghost. And no wonder that Mary spent those 3 months with Elizabeth, and the scripture says she abode there and returned to her own house. And during this time, she's just pondering in her own heart. This Thanksgiving season, I've just been spending a lot of time just pondering in my heart how to be more thankful. I go back to my fathers, my mother, yes, grandfathers, grandparents, yes, all the current blessings, yes, everything wonderful, wonderful. There's struggles, there's trials, there's heartaches, all that's for sure and granted. But let's go back in our minds and hearts why we really are able to have this Thanksgiving season. It's because God has shed his mercy on us and has taken our griefs and our sorrows and has personified it in our heart by his own precious Son, Jesus Christ, through the blessed Holy Ghost of God. And he's not done with us yet. If we have tomorrow, this afternoon we'll have a funeral service for a saint of God. And she's happy now. She had a wonderful family, three sons, and she had a wonderful sister and some other family members. Wonderful husband, I love him, Brother Eugene. But now she's in the presence of God. That's something to ponder about, is it not? What will it be? Mary was pondering, what will it be when this child is born? She's got 9 months to think about it, and she is thinking about it. We're not home yet, but while we're down here on this earth, we can ponder it, we can think about it, we can rejoice in. The reason we have thanksgiving is because of Jesus Christ. Would you stand? Your heads are bowed. If you're here this morning, you've never received blessed forgiveness of your sins. Oh, what an opportunity it would be. Brother Rand, you have a song to give you this morning. Your heads are bowed. We have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We're around family and friends. God's provided clothing, shelter, food, everything that we need. Why? Because he became a partaker. And because we believed his report. But many have not. Many will do like the religious crowd was doing those 400 years. They'll be carrying out a form of godliness, but God's silent. But you can make it personified this morning and have a song of praise and salutation because of the Son of Promise is alive in your heart. And if that's not true, would you come this morning? God still saves sinners. Darren was telling me that about 70 days ago, when the Justice family was here, his song leader got saved right here, Darren's song leader. And since that day, counting those 14 that got saved last night in his church, 70 people has got saved in those few days. I'm sure there's people here this morning lost. Would not you like to make it a personal thing? The Holy Ghost taking that salutation, that greeting, come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And let me personify in your heart the Son of Promise so you could have a song of praise. Randy.
Page 367.
You might like to come this morning and just give him thanks. The real thanks at Thanksgiving is because he lives. Because we're counted worthy. We're not worthy, but in his sight we're counted worthy to worship and adore the Son of Promise. Murray was surely like that. He had done so much for her, and the journey is just now beginning. She followed him all the way to the cross. Then in death, because she believed he was the Son of God and shed his blood for her, she traveled all the way to heaven. No wonder she had a song of praise about the Son of Promise after the salutation. How wonderful it is to serve the Lord. All minds, hearts clear. Don't forget services this afternoon, the funeral and song practice tonight at 15:05. Christmas program's coming up soon. Pray for that. Brother Guy, if you'll come up here, please, and dismiss us. Thank you, God, for all he's doing for us.
Just a quick announcement before he's missed. Miss Rita Bright asked if you're here this morning and you're a member of law enforcement, if you're a veteran, medical personnel, EMS, firefighter. She'd like to meet with you for just a few minutes after the service. I guess down here, down front here. So she won't keep you long, just has a favor to ask of you. Law enforcement, firefighters, EMS, medical, nurse, veteran. I see Miss Bright immediately after the service. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your blessings, for your mercy, for your goodness. We thank you that we have a hope in Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, that you're our help and you're our ever-present help in time of trouble. You're our advocate. Father, you're our Savior. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray, Father, for these here this morning. Father, for all you've done for us, for your blessings, for your goodness. Lord, for saving us most of all, the shed blood and remission of sins. Lord, I'm thankful for our pastor and the message and the truth that he preaches. Thank you, Father, for each and every one that's here. I pray you'd be with us through the rest of the day. Bring us back safely. In Jesus' name we pray.